Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky. Heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy,
holy.
The universe declares your majesty. You are holy,
holy.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Thank you, young people, for that good music. I wasn't quite as familiar with some of those songs as they are, but it's my age. Yeah, it's my age. We sing hymns that are way older than I am. Wow, isn't that amazing? And we still love them, don't we? We were delighted to see some of our friends from Azalea, Oregon. They go to a Village Missions church down there, Bob and Bernice Green. Seated over here. I hope you get to meet them before they leave today. They came up to celebrate his birthday and his sister's birthday in Forest Grove. And who else? I don't know who else they celebrated, but they've been having a good time. They're headed back home today. It's about a four-hour drive, so welcome. They were surprised to see my name in the bulletin. They didn't know I was over here. I'm kind of surprised myself that I'm still here. Isn't that amazing? Oh, God is good, isn't he? God is good. He is kind to us. I'm glad to be here today with you. It's feel really at, in good company here because we all know and love the Lord here. If you didn't love the Lord, you'd be out there doing other things. The people that love the Lord are out there doing other things today too. The ones you don't see here today, you can be sure are having a good time with their family and friends. And they may be traveling or they may be having one of those Bible barbecues, you know what I mean? We used to have them all summer long. Every Friday night, we would have a barbecue, fellowship barbecue, in someone else's home. And the condition was whoever hosted it had to do devotions. Well, that worked pretty good with some families, but other families, they said, you please come and do our devotions for us. Not only did I do the devotions, but I handled the barbecue itself too. They saw that I flipped those things pretty good, so they had me do that too. So I guess it's better to be useful than just ornamental, so that's good. Well, I hope it's that way for you here too. I hope that I can be used of the Lord to encourage you in this interim between pastors. And I assure you that in the Lord's time and in the will of God and in the procedures and protocol of Village Missions, you will have a missionary here before fall. Well, that's a bold statement. Just remember, fall sometimes starts in September and some, well, forget it. We're in Philippians. And if you look at the little insert in your bulletin, I'm supposed to be preaching on something out of chapter 3, verse 3 today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. And Paul makes a very bold and true and great statement in chapter 3, verse 3 of Philippians, where he says, we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Well, I made a bold attempt to preach on that last Sunday, and I didn't anywhere near finish my message. So you're going to get something of the rest of it today, okay? You don't mind leftovers? Good. This is not even leftover. I got some brand new stuff for you today. Well, to make it easier for you to remember, if you're taking any notes at all, you can do an acrostic if you want to today. I have in my notes on the word worship. We worship God. Now, that has a very broad connotation for a lot of people. There are people out there today that are worshiping idols. Unfortunately, they don't know the true God, and they're making a bold attempt to work at something worshiping spiritual things out there. The New Agers are always talking about spiritual things. Well, I'll tell you, if that fire in Arizona gets any closer to Sedona, their God is going to get singed. Because those false gods of the cults and the isms out there are not like our God. Their God is a phony. Our God is true. Our God is real. Our God is eternal. Our God is not imaginary. He's immaculate. He is infinite. He is greater than anything we can describe because He is almighty. Well, I'm going to start with the word W because that's how you begin to spell worship. At least that's the way I spell it. In the way I've seen it written, so I'm going to go with that today. And I don't know any better place to start about an acrostic on worship on W than to talk about the Word of God. Any worship that is not based on the tenets of the doctrine and the sound doctrine of the Word of God can be going astray in a hurry. It'll be less than the best if it does not find its source in the inspired Word of God. If you have any questions about worship, they can be answered in your study and meditation of the Word of God. And you can trust God to reveal to you, as you wait upon Him, how you personally can worship Him in spirit and in truth. And how accurate that is compared to all the scriptures where Paul says, we worship in the Spirit of God, because we worship from the Scriptures, inspired by God. We heard that verse a little while ago in Sunday school. All Scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God, the boy and girls of God, can be fully equipped for every good work. All true worship ends up in work because it's united to the idea of serving God. I think I said something like this last Sunday, that worship is a command by God. Jesus told Satan himself, worship only God, Him only shall you serve, right out of the book of Deuteronomy. Serving God is a part of our worship. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here. The Word of God is the basis of everything we're talking about today. I'm going to read some verses from the Psalms today and Isaiah and some other passages. And if you want to follow along with the Word of God, I'm going to say in Psalm 138, there's a verse I'd like to read. I should have these all memorized, of course, being as old as I am, but as fast as I memorize them, I forget some. So in Psalm 138, verse 2, it says, the psalmist says, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. I will give thee thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to thee before the gods. I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. I wish I could just spend the whole time on that verse. Do you realize that God is indescribable, as we sing about sometimes, but the Word of God describes God to the letter. It describes God so perfectly that nobody should be confused. You'll say, well, some of it goes way over my head. Well, that's why some people preach the Word, to help explain that to you. That's why God has teachers and Bible schools and seminaries to train people about the majesty and the marvelous nature of God. Every name of God says something more magnificent about Him. And that's a whole study, as you must know by now. He is Lord of all. He is King of kings. He is Elohim. He is Adonai, and right on down, Elkanai, and all the other names that you can give to God, El Shaddai, and all the rest. Well, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that if you make a vow to God, you better keep it. If you give your word to God that you're going to do something in His name and for His glory, you better follow through with that. I don't think I marry a single couple without telling them about this. When they make their marriage vow, you better keep it. If you don't keep it, you'll pay the consequences. Divorce is painful, and it hurts people, and it dishonors God. God hates divorce. I shouldn't have started that one today. That doesn't go with what I wanted to really say. But the Word of God says so, and I believe it. And you need to believe it as well. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2 of Isaiah, verse 3. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. You see, they wanted to go to the temple to worship God, that He may teach us concerning His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The people of Israel in that day looked to God, and they looked to His word, the law of Moses, and the words of the prophets, in order to get a knowledge of our God. And those who know their God, Daniel says, will do great exploits. We will never get to know God, nor will we worship Him correctly without the authority and sovereignty of the truth of the Word of God. Well, that ought to be long enough on W. Let's go to the word O. Let's try the word obey. I've had young couples occasionally say to me over the years, when you do these marriage vows, we don't want to see the word obey in there. I said, why? And when I explained to them that it's part of the biblical promises we should make to our spouses, then they sometimes back down. If they don't back down, I'll say, I won't marry you if you're not going to be submissive. And I did that once. I did that once, and I thought, well, I'll never see those people again. You know where I saw them next time? I saw them at North Clackamas Christian School, taking their kids to school, getting a Christian training, because they had come to know Christ as Savior, and they had adopted that place to train their children in the things of the Lord. I thought, praise God. His word prevailed. Christ came into their life, convinced them that submission is not a bad word. They submitted to the truth of the word. They found Jesus as Savior. They vowed to raise their children in that way. And wow, I was so excited about that. I was excited about that. In Joshua, where God was talking to Joshua about the phenomenal ministry that he was going to have of leading the people of Israel finally across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God said to Joshua, and this has to do with obey. It has to do with observing God and His Word as well. There's two O's for you. God said to him, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Joshua didn't hear it the first time, must be. He's repeated it. Be careful to do. There's a good word for obey, observe. Do it, do it, do it. Not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Some people are accusing Christians of not being very successful because they don't live in the fanciest houses, they don't drive the fastest car, and they don't think they have any fun. Boy, have I got news for them. If I had any more fun, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I've enjoyed my Christian life. I enjoy preaching the Word. I enjoy preparing for it just as much as I enjoy delivering it. And it's a part of my life, and I want to do it. As Joshua was told, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. All that is written in it, not just your favorite 17 verses. I was told years ago, Christians live maybe on 17 verses out of the Word of God, and they keep living their life on those 17 verses. God says man shall not live by bread alone or by just simple food, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why you should go through the Scriptures every year. Every year, go through the Word. If it takes 2 years for you to get through it, go through it. But anyway, go through it and let it go through you and let it become a part of you and let it become a part of your thinking process. Then you'll have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. Prosperity doesn't always come with dollar signs. Prosperity comes with contentment and peace and joy and rejoicing in the Lord and seeing the fruit of your labors coming to pass and being content with God and God alone, because there is no other source for meaning and purpose and happiness. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. There's three times now. Be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Joshua 1:6-9. I'm sorry. I'm having a little bit too much fun here. Too honest with you, maybe. But you'll give me a little space on that one. Thank you. What should we put for R? There are a lot of appropriate words, but I put the word reverence. If we're going to worship God, the appropriate thing, one of the many appropriate things, is a reverence for God. In the Psalms, one more time, chapter 33, verse 8, I found, well, there are scores of verses that tell us similar things here, but in Psalm 33, verse 8, it says there, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." I'll tell you what, if He has that much authority, and if He's really in charge of His whole world, which He created, by the way, we ought to be listeners. Amen. We ought to be learners. Amen. We ought to be willing followers. We ought to be willing to bow down before Him. In fact, I have that in my notes here somewhere in Psalm 95, verse 6. Psalm 95, verse 6, it says this, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Now, at my age, it's harder to kneel than ever. And so I imagine myself sometimes kneeling, especially when there's no carpet on the floor. And when I'm out somewhere in the gravel, I don't like to kneel on that gravel. But you know what? If we kneel with our heart and our mind, we are kneeling before God in spirit and in soul. And that's what He wants to see. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Wow, what a wonderful thing to remember that we owe Him. Now, if you can find that little book of Habakkuk over there, and I found it the other day. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I'm coming close. Habakkuk chapter 2, this is a verse I would like to remember about. It says in verse 20, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him." I don't think that's happening in a lot of our world today. There's a lot of shouting going on, mostly to get our rights and those things we want to get from heaven, if there is a heaven at all, the people think. But you know what? Our God wields so much authority that if we don't fear Him, if we don't reverence Him, if we don't stand in awe of Him, if we don't give Him the glory that's due His name, we're dishonoring Him. And we're going to pay the price for that. We can't afford, as Christians, to take Him for granted. Sure, the New Testament encourages us more than the Old Testament, draw near to God. Some of those people worship from afar. Well, we can be near God, but let's not get so near that we think we are equals. We are not equals with God. No, Jesus Christ is equal with the Father and with the Spirit. The Godhead, the Trinity are all co-equal, but we are not equal. We are man and woman. He is God. He is divine. We are human. He is the giver. We are the receiver. He's the hand. We're the glove. Okay? Reverence. Reverence. Wow. Psalm 99, verse 5. Look at the clock. I don't even want to look at the clock. 99, verse 5. "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Holy is He." W-O-R-S, sacrifices, or sacrifice. I think of Jesus' sacrifice at the cross. Everything centers around Jesus Christ, as well it should. Paul says we rejoice in Jesus Christ, as well we should too. And we do, don't we? Let's do it even more. Let's always look back to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to see as a, you might say, the greatest prototype ever, the grandest sacrifice that was ever made. He gave His all, Philippians chapter 2, you remember those sermons, I hope, about how He gave His life even unto death on the cross. that we might be saved. He is mighty to save, as we sang. And without the sacrifice of Christ, we wouldn't stand a chance. Now, there's a book way back in the Old Testament called 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verses 29 through 31 says this: Now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who are present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord in the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Lord. And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all those who were willing brought burnt offerings. Wow! And the number of the burnt offerings which the assembly brought were, don't try this on any given Sunday or Sabbath day. Don't bring 70 bulls or 100 rams or 200 lambs. We have no way to deal with that around here. A burnt offering for the Lord in those days was a prototype of a prefix of the great sacrifice, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who would take away the sins of the world. Think of the sacrifice of the herd taking those animals out of there, and they consecrated those things, 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. And there was so many animals, there wasn't enough priests to skin them all. What a problem. Well, I'm glad we've come a long way since those days. We are so fortunate to have one who has gone before us, Jesus. His blood is worth way more than the blood of bulls and goats, which could not take away sin. Our sin has been taken away from us. Well, what can we bring? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 would give us an indication, as well as verses, if you want to turn later to Hebrews chapter 10, you can find some places there too. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Acceptable sacrifices, which would be showing gratitude when you don't have anything you can think of to be thankful for. Say, thank you, Lord, for everything. Even though you don't feel grateful, don't go by feelings. Go by what you should do. Do it. Offer thanks to God. Offer sacrifices of praise to Him. That's what worship is all about. W-O-R-S-H. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You see, without the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we not only wouldn't learn the word very fast, but it would not have the meaning to us if He was not our teacher and our mentor and the one who indwells us all the time. Without the Holy Spirit, we would get carried away to other kinds of spirits that wouldn't be holy. And we would become idolaters instead. We don't want to worship false gods. We want to worship the true God. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's the Spirit of truth, John says. Wow! He's the Spirit of truth. And in John chapter 14, verse 17, it says this. John 14, 17. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Wow! In chapter 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of Me. If we want to really know Christ, it's the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who teaches us about Him. Because when He comes, John says in chapter 16, verse 13, when He comes, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. All truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears from the Father, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. And all things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. Are you lacking anything? Are we ever? I can think of a lot of things I lack any given day. I wish I could live up to the fullness of everything I'm preaching today. If I could, the sermons would even get, well, they'd get better. They'd improve. I wonder what percentage of what I preach from the perfect Word of God I'm able to obey. Oh, I wish I could obey all of it. I will when I get to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. W-R-S-H-I. Well, let's get the I out of it, thinking of ourselves as I. Let's not get proud. Let's take the word integrity. Let's take the word integrity. I remember preaching a sermon on that once, and I've been trying to practice it ever since. But integrity means, as far as I'm concerned, honesty, purity of heart, moral and spiritual purity, having a heart that is straightforward with people, and a conscience that's clear with my God. Those are things that will help us to worship God as He should be worshipped. You must have learned by now, even if you're a young person, that you cannot successfully play mind games with God. He has a sense of humor, I know that. He created me, but he does not play mind games. He wants us to be straightforward with Him. Read it for yourself in Psalm 24, verse 3. It says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." David says, "This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Thy face, even Jacob." Selah. Wow, I always admire David for his honesty. He didn't do everything right. He did some great sins and had to confess them. But he at least was honest with God. Read it for yourself in Psalm 51. And he was able to worship. And the reason God accepted his worship was because he was a man after His own heart. David was not only pursuing God's heart, but he resembled the heart of God in the way he lived. I hope you've learned by now that worship isn't just a Sunday experience. It's a lifestyle. I just thought of that all week long. It's a lifestyle. You can worship God on Monday. You can wash the clothes on Saturday like my wife did yesterday. And she did that as unto the Lord. And that's an act of worship. Wow. Do I ever appreciate the work she does? It's an act of worship to grow vegetables and give them out to neighbors. It's an act of worship to obey the Lord and listen to His voice and enjoy the sunshine. And look for the sky the other night. I got up at 12:45 or something like that looking for the meteors. They passed me by. I never saw a single one. Never saw a single one. But I thought while I was out there, wow, there was no lights out there except my porch light came on when I stepped out the door. But it went off in a few seconds and I looked at the North Star and I looked at the Big Dipper. I thank God for the beauty of the sky. Wow. There were no clouds out there in Dili. There have been other times, though. It rains very regularly out there. W-O-R-S-H-I-P. How will we end this? We're going to end it with a word of prayer. We're going to talk about prayer as a part of worship. "My house shall be called a house of prayer," Jesus said. I appreciate churches that pray for their people. I preach in various places around the country, in the Northwest primarily, in recent years. And I really think it's the right thing to do to hold one another up in prayer. When we pray for one another, we're praying to our God in behalf of those persons. And God is glorified and people are benefited when we intercede for them in prayer. Don't ever think you're wasting time in prayer. The only time you can waste time in prayer, as James would say, if you ask amiss, that you're just selfishly praying for some stupid benefit that he doesn't want you to have. That's a waste of time. Forget it. Just go work and buy it yourself and don't ask for it. No, there's no wasted time when it comes to prayer. Verse after verse after verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I guess I can find it over in the New Testament instead of being in the Old Testament. Here we are over here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the very first verse to start with. It says, first of all, but today it's going to be last of all, as my last point. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and in dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There in the 8th verse it says, therefore I want the men, and I think he wants the women too, by the way, to be prayer warriors. I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Well, in Psalm 116, it's kind of fun to go back and forth, isn't it, between the Old and New Testaments. I like to do that. Psalm 116. David says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. Is that long enough? As long as I live. One and two. Psalm 116, 1 and 2 right there. And then verses 12 through 14, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows in the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all the people. And there's the next verse. Think of that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Well, that's a strange verse to end on, but I'll tell you what. People who are dying think about prayer. I do chaplain duty, and I can tell you for sure that some of those people who are on their deathbed welcome the chaplain. Please pray. I've had some people say, I don't want a chaplain today. I'm doing fine. Well, I have to honor that. I can't pray for them in their presence. I pray for them after I leave the room. I'm so sneaky. Prayer is the lifeblood, because it links us with God. And the Word of God links us with Him. And if we do His Word, we obey it, there's a blessing there. If we are experiencing reverence and awe toward God, He honors that. And He expects that. And if we make sacrifices of praise and sing songs of praise to Him, He loves that. If we work with the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, I can preach with His help, and you can listen with His help, and you can do what He wants you to do with His help and exercise your spiritual gift. And then, if we are people of integrity, David said the reason God has overcome my enemies for me is because I am living in my integrity and my righteousness. He stayed abreast of his sin. He confessed it when it was there. God forgave him. God blessed him and provided for him as he does for us. May God bless you as you go out this week to worship every single day of the week. Make that your goal, please. Please do. You'll be amazed at how various forms of worship will come to your mind as you enjoy God's creation, as you meet with people who need your encouragement, and you have a chance to give them a word of cheer in the Lord. Wow. I'm going to close in prayer because there's no closing song, and I'm not going to sing one. Okay? Father, we pray that you will just engrave your holy word upon our hearts.